This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we will have a special feature on hope for guilt. We'll have a devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley and another Grace Points episode and a special health segment on preventing cancer.
Stay with us.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we can't wait to kick off today's program on this lovely Friday morning.
Friends, we're so glad you chose to start your weekend with the love and hope of Jesus.
Today is National Mammography Day. You know, this day serves as a reminder to all women that the best defense is early detection. A mammogram can often detect a problem before there is any outward physical sign.
Mm-hmm. And cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States, according to the CDC. Breast cancer is also the most common form of cancer diagnosed among women. Screenings and breast exams are a part of the early detection process.
Mammograms are recommended for women age 40 and older. If you fall in that category, take this day as an important reminder to set an appointment for your annual mammogram.
And talking about cancer, we have a special segment coming up on today's program on preventing cancer.
But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1867, the United States officially took possession of Alaska. Having purchased the territory from Russia for $7.2 million, equivalent to less than 2 cents per acre. Indigenous peoples had inhabited the harsh region thousands of years prior. The acquisition, covering 586,412 square miles, about twice the size of Texas, was advocated by William Henry Seward, the expansionist Secretary of State under President Andrew Johnson.
You know, the purchase of Alaska reminds us of the incredible value and what may seem underestimated or overlooked. For less than 2 cents per acre. Wow. You know, the U.S. acquired a vast and resource-rich land, showing that sometimes the true worth of something is far greater than its cost appears. You know, this parallels the immense price Jesus paid to redeem us, his own life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible tells us that you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Though the cost may seem unimaginable, Jesus saw our true worth and paid the ultimate price for our salvation on the cross. Just as Alaska was a hidden treasure, we too, despite our flaws, are precious in God's eyes. Jesus bought us with his blood, not because of our own merit, but because of his boundless love for each one of us.
How thankful we can be for that love every day, friends. Cancer is one of the leading causes of death in America. This morning, Dr. Katia Reinhardt joins us to discuss how to prevent cancer on today's segment of the Health Connection.
Hi, I am Dr. Katia Reinhardt, and I bring to you today the Health Connection here on Wake Up with Hope. We know that cancer is the second leading cause of death globally. It causes one in every eight deaths. 45 to 50% of all cancers, though, are preventable. How? Through diet and lifestyle changes, by avoiding occupational carcinogens, avoiding also environmental pollution, and avoiding certain long-term infections like HPV, HIV, and others. Now, the disease is characterized by two key qualities. First, some of the body's cells start growing uncontrollably. And second, it starts spreading to other parts of the body. Now, there are many kinds of cancers, over 100 kinds. And there's many causes of cancer, too. Cancer is, for instance, caused by changes occurring in genetic material. This genetic damage may be caused by inherited tendencies from parents, or maybe damage to a DNA caused by harmful substances such as tobacco, smoke, alcohol use, or excessive sun exposure. Damage to DNA also from viruses such as HPV or other kinds of viruses. Many things in our genes, our lifestyle, and our environment may increase or decrease our risk of getting cancer. Now, some cancer-causing agents are smoking, alcohol, air pollution, diesel exhaust, like from trucks and buses and trains, asbestos, and also substances in processed meats, like in bacon, in salami, pepperoni, or sausage. So by choosing a healthy lifestyle, you can significantly decrease your risk of getting cancer. Now, here are four key ways to reduce your cancer risk. Avoid known causes of cancer, like we just said, tobacco, alcohol, etc. Change your diet and your lifestyle. And find and treat cancer early, before it spreads. Do those checkups. Immunizations for certain cancers are also important. Now, Harvard looked at lifestyle and potential to prevent cancer and other chronic diseases in a lot of men and women, and they found this. People following a healthy lifestyle had 50% less cancer, 80% less coronary heart disease, and 90% less diabetes. They also lived 7 to 10 years longer, free from chronic disease. So the five healthy lifestyle practices that they used were, first, never smoking, having a healthy weight, which is a BMI of between 18.5 and 24.9. 3, getting regular aerobic exercise, at least 30 minutes a day. Limiting alcohol intake, and best avoid alcohol altogether. And they also ate healthier diets, which meant they ate more fruits, more vegetables, more whole grains, nuts, and legumes, and also less red meat and sugar, and especially sweetened drinks like sodas and high processed foods. The World Health Research Fund here provides 10 cancer prevention recommendations based on what we know in research. These need to be incorporated into an overall healthy lifestyle so it can be most effective. These 10 recommendations are all based on strong evidence related especially to diet and physical activity. So here they are. First, maintain a healthy weight. Secondly, be physically active, as we discussed. Third, eat more plant-based foods. Fourth, limit fast foods and ultra-processed foods. Number 5, limit the red and processed meats. And also 6, limit sugar-sweetened drinks. Very important, number 7, abstain from alcohol consumption. And 8, don't rely on supplements to lower cancer risk like many people do. Number 9, for mothers, breastfeed your baby. And number 10, if you were diagnosed with cancer, follow these recommendations. They relate to your diet and to physical activity only. However, there are other recommendations for prevention as well, such as not smoking, avoiding pollution and the carcinogens, as we said earlier, protecting yourself from viruses linked to cancer, and also maintaining good overall health altogether. And don't forget, get your regular medical checkups, including vaccinations and screening tests appropriate for your age. And finally, manage chronic stress in a healthy way. Be aware there are cancer warning signs. So if you see these signs, seek medical help. This may be changes in your bowel or bladder habits, a sore that does not heal, an unusual bleeding or discharge, thickening or lump in your breast or elsewhere in your body. Also, maybe if you have indigestion or difficulty in swallowing, or obvious change in a wart or a mole in your skin. Finally, nagging cough or hoarseness that does not go away. You need to check it out. Plus, you may have unexplained weight loss. If you find this, please seek medical care and put in effect these strategies and recommendations, and your chances for cancer will reduce.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us.
We'll be right back with an exclusive feature on hope. And later, Pastor Mark Finley joins us to share today's devotional thought.
Mm-hmm. Think for a minute. What appeases your guilty conscience? We live in times where the feelings of guilt are discouraged and minimized. The age of rights and entitlements seem to have suspended the weight of our responsibilities, blurred the consequences of our actions, and minimized our wrongdoings. In such times, when each person defines their own trajectory and designs their own rules, guilt may seem unnecessary. But it's the acknowledgement of our guilt that leads us to a change of behavior, habits, and character. It is the grace of God through the influence of the Holy Spirit that convinces us of sin and righteousness and judgment. But Christ doesn't expect the sinner to change before coming to Him. He says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." A guilty conscience can only be deceived, deluded, numbed. But if you are looking for peace, pause and think for a minute. It might be time to surrender everything to Christ, even your guilt.
If we want to thrive spiritually, we have to water the dry places of our souls. Unfortunately, we often fall for thirst traps. On today's Grace Points, Melvin Warfield Jr. discusses the danger of trying to satisfy a permanent thirst with temporary remedies.
You know, we fall for thirst traps all the time. In contemporary culture, most of the time we're talking about this selfie culture where people post attractive pictures intentionally trying to get attention. Most of the time it's something suggestive and something probably not safe for work. But did you realize the origins of that term, thirst trap, are actually pretty ambiguous? The first time you see it in print is in a book called Running for Dummies in 1999. One of the authors, of course, was one of the greatest runners of all time, Florence Griffith Joyner. And in this book, Running for Dummies, they talk about the thirst trap. And the thirst trap is that point in the body where the body begins to feel thirsty. Well, by the time the body begins to feel thirsty and send signals to the brain, you're already beyond the point of thirsty. So what happens is you drink fluid. And once you feel the initial satisfaction of drinking a little bit of fluid, the thirst trap is the temptation to stop drinking because you felt a little bit of satisfaction and it registers in your brain that you're no longer thirsty. But the reality is your body's actually on the verge of dehydration and you didn't drink enough. So it's a thirst trap. Even though you think you've satisfied your thirst with just a little bit of fluid because it felt good in your mouth, it went down in your body, you felt a rush, but you didn't take in enough for actual hydration. Now you're on the verge of dehydration and all sorts of things happen, right? One of the most fascinating results of dehydration to me was weight gain. Yeah, weight gain. Some of you realized just now that the reason that you gained weight was because you were thirsty, not hungry. What do I mean by that? Well, the body sometimes gives off this message of thirst. Our brain translates that thirsty message and we think that that means I'm hungry. So what happens is, even though I'm thirsty, I start eating when what I really needed was living water. Message, right? John chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water. That's actually what we want. But what happens is we confuse the signals in our lives because the only thing that satisfies is Jesus. But instead, we look for money, we look for relationships, sometimes the wrong relationships. We throw ourselves into work, we go shopping, we might abuse substances, we drink, we do all sorts of dysfunctional, reckless stuff, trying to fill the void, looking for satisfaction, when the only thing that really satisfies is living water. Or, as believers, we get just a little bit of a relationship with God, a little bit of prayer, we get a little bit of church, we get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and we have this immediate rush that I must be okay, it felt right, I feel boosted, not realizing we're on the verge of dehydration. And we're filling our lives with everything else besides God, like gaining weight. We're starting to have an unhealthy existence because we filled our lives with everything else but living water. You need living water every day, not just when you're thirsty. Because by the time you're thirsty, if you're a runner, by the time you're really thirsty, you're probably already experiencing some of the beginning phases of dehydration. In your life, by the time you feel your desperate need for God, you've already done something reckless. By the time you feel your desperate need for God, you're already depressed, you're already discouraged, you're already ready to give up. But when you daily fill your life with living water, you don't get to the point of dehydration. You have strength to endure, strength to overcome temptation, strength to deal with your enemies, strength to deal with your issues. You have the strength, the vitality, the hydration, because you're daily filling your life with living water. Question is, has your life fallen to thirst traps? I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know if you're trying to fill up on the wrong person, if you're trying to fill up with the wrong thing, or if you feel like you had just enough of God to feel a boost, but not enough to really feel hydrated in your life. All I can tell you today is that Jesus really is the answer. Your greatest need is for living water. Otherwise, we're dying. Everything about our existence dries out. So, in the words of that most interesting man, stay thirsty, my friends. Drink in the living water of Jesus Christ and watch him change your life today. Anyway, you all are awesome. Looking forward to seeing you next week. You're an amazing group. I love my Grace Points family. This is Grace Points. God bless you.
Coming up right after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
Just now, Pastor Mark Finley brings us a devotional thought.
What's more important, your character or your reputation? What is character? What is reputation? Our reputation is the perception that others have of us. Our reputation has to do with others, what others think about us. When other people hear your name, what do they think about? What thoughts come into their mind? Our character is who we really are. Our character has to do with not what others think we are, but what we actually are. Our character is the most important thing. Now, I've heard people say, well, don't worry about your reputation, just worry about your character. What's more important in a car, to have brakes or gas? What's more important to have in a car? Is it to be able for the car to go or the car to stop? You say that's a false dichotomy. And it's in a sense true. It's a false dichotomy with character and reputation. God desires us to have a positive reputation so that we can positively influence people. But that reputation is never to be achieved at the expense of character. If you have a solid character that knows God, that loves God, that's committed to blessing other people, that will create a positive reputation. In Proverbs chapter 22, the proverb talks to us about reputation. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. If we make a commitment to unselfishly serve like Jesus served, he will take care of our reputation. During the early days of the Salvation Army, William Booth and his associates were bitterly attacked by the press, by religious leaders, and government leaders alike. Whenever his son Bramwell showed Booth a newspaper attack, the general would simply reply, "Now, son, now, Bramwell, 50 years from now, it will matter very little indeed how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we deal with the work of God." William Booth knew that the most important thing in life is doing God's will. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to create with us an unselfish, kind character. Think about the Salvation Army today just for a moment. They have a sterling reputation. I know when my dad was growing up, he had no father that he knew of, brought up in very poverty-stricken homes in New York City, places like Hell's Kitchen and the Harlem in New York. And his dad was brought up there. He had a rough time. He was brought up in the Great Depression in the United States, 1928, 29, 30, 31, 32. Those were very difficult years. People were unemployed in the United States, hard to get work. They were standing in long bread lines to get bread just to survive. And it was cold in New York City, but the Salvation Army provided for my father clothing during that time. They provided a coat for him, which he didn't have. And they developed a sterling reputation for unselfish sacrificial service. The most important thing in life is a knowledge of Christ, a relationship with him, a commitment to do his work, to reflect his character and follow his leading. And if that is our decision, he will take care of our reputation. Our reputations are not nearly as important as our characters. And if we're committed to do God's will, he's going to guard our reputations. If we're committed to do his will, he will care for our reputations. In the book of Matthew, chapter 20, we have a story of a mother. And we shouldn't blame this mom too much. She's a story of a mom that wants the best for her children. She's a story of a mom who wants to see her children have position, have honor, have a good reputation. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, this mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John, comes to Jesus with her sons. And she kneels before him and she says, and Jesus says to her, "What do you want?" And she says, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." See, she thinks that Jesus is going to come into his kingdom. And she thinks, "I know what I want. I want my sons to have a place of honor. I want them to have a place of position, a place of authority. I want their reputation to be one that they're sitting one in Christ's left hand, one in Christ's right hand. That's what I want." And Jesus shocks her. He says, a little later in the chapter, verse 25, he calls all of his disciples to himself. He has a lesson he wants to teach them. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those that are great exercise authority over them. They have this great reputation. But it's not going to be so among you." Verse 26, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came not to give his time, but to give his life. He came to reveal the character of God. He touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened. Touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. Touched the withered man's arm and it was healed. Touched legs that were paralyzed and they leaped and walked again with new life. Forgave the sin of the woman caught in adultery. Broke the bread and fed 5,000. What is it about this Christ that draws all men to him today? What is it that gives him such a positive reputation? It's his character. It's his life of service. And he hangs on that cross with nails through his hands and blood running down his wrists and blood running from the temples, from the crown of thorns upon his head, matting in his beard and dripping at the stone at the foot of the cross. He dies there bearing your sins and mine. He dies with the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin. He who knew no sin took sin upon himself for us. What is it that causes songs to be sung about him? What is it that causes artists to paint pictures of him? What is it that causes books to be written about Christ? Why? What has given him such a positive reputation that echoes and re-echoes down the ages? Here's what it is. Jesus was more concerned about his character than his reputation. And Jesus knew that if he lived a life of self-sacrificial service, a life of love and kindness and compassion, that God would take care of his reputation. And that happened. What about you? Proverbs says a good name is better than riches. How do you achieve a good name? By striving for it, by seeking first place, by trying to get as much power as you can to gain a good reputation. Tell God you want a character of loving service, and he'll take care of your reputation.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. If you would like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you, so don't forget to join us on Monday, same time, same place. We'll have an inspiring message from Voice of Prophecy, a delicious recipe from Gia and Olive, music by Sivasa Laupati, and another Grace Points episode.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And we don't want to leave without sharing a Bible promise for the weekend. And today's promise comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10.
It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it."
You know, friend, when we give back to God what is His, both tithe and time, He promises that we will never lack anything. Instead, blessings will overflow.
Amen. Well, friends, we pray you keep this amazing promise in your heart this weekend, and we truly wish you a blessed weekend.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for blessing us today. Our hearts are full, and we do want to put our trust entirely, completely in you. We know, Lord, that you are faithful to your promises, and today, Lord, we want to renew our commitment to trust you even with our finances and our time. And so we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.